questions at all about the situation. Okay, we're going to have a class for children up about age 5. Wendy will help you. Any parents would like to take advantage of that, you can take a child to the lobby at this time. I want to say that this past Monday, and again tomorrow, we're resuming our men's class that we've had in the past. We're meeting at 8 o'clock. I know that's a little late, but some people, it just, you know, we're men, right? We work. And sometimes that time works best for some of our people. And so, you know, if there's interest, I love doing that, and others enjoy it. And so we're going to give it a shot as long as there's people who want to come out and be with us on Monday nights at 8 o'clock. And so anybody else who would like to join us, you're welcome. We'll be right here in the lobby at 8 o'clock on Monday nights. And all the men of the congregation, young and old, that's, you know, teenage as well, are invited to come and join us if you would like to. And then the Wednesday classes, we're going to begin a new series, and we're going to be studying the book of Acts, which, you know, that's been a staple Bible study in Churches of Christ all of our lives. But I really want to kind of approach it with fresh eyes and look at it like we're looking at it for the first time and ask some different questions maybe than we've asked in the past. I think in the past we've kind of looked at the book of Acts like a blueprint for what the church ought to be. And we certainly do get authority for what God wants us to be and do in the book of Acts, but I don't really think that's how the book was designed. It was written by a historian. His name was Luke. He was a physician. And it's just a history. Acts of the Apostles. What the name means, if you're not familiar with it. You know, you had Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which were the Acts of Jesus, the life of Jesus, four accounts of the life of Jesus. And what Acts of the Apostles means is just the actions of the apostles. After Jesus left, you know, he left his work in the hands of the apostles, and they started this church, Christianity. And I think there's so many great questions to ask, and one that I really want to focus on is that amazing growth where there was only 120 people in chapter 1 left after Jesus ascended into heaven. And he told them to wait in Jerusalem until this power would come. And just starting with that, 120, the church just began to grow. And in chapter 2, there was 3,000. Chapter 4, it talks about 4,000 men. And then a little bit later on in Colossians chapter 1, it talks about how that group had spread the gospel. It says, to every creature under heaven. So the amazing growth. You know, what motivated them? What inspired them? And are we missing out on that motivation and inspiration? Especially in light of the fact that they were a church that was persecuted. I want to think about that this morning from the very beginning. Acts chapter 7, we have the first Christian martyr. His name was Stephen, and he was preaching to the Jews in Jerusalem. And they couldn't take his message, so they take him out of the city and stone him. And they laid his clothes, or their clothes, at the feet of a young man named Saul, who of course became Paul. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he prayed for them, and he died. And so Stephen was the first Christian that we have recorded who was killed because of his faith. A little bit further into the story, in Acts chapter 12, we read about Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some in the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. I guess he beheaded him. And he saw it pleased the Jews, so he took Peter also. And he was determined, you know, after the Passover, that he was going to bring Peter out and kill him. And notice what it says there in verse 5. Peter was kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. But he killed James. He was beheaded. And now he's going to kill Peter. And he was spared because the people were praying for him. A little bit later in Acts chapter 14, the apostle Paul has now become the apostle, and he's traveling and he's preaching, and they stone Paul and they drag him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. Disciples gather around him. He rose up and he went into the city. But notice what he said. He went and he preached the gospel. He wasn't discouraged. He kept right on preaching and returned to the cities from where they came, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith. And look at this. He said, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. And so that's a statement really to all of us that
You know, there's going to be suffering. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, all who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. That's always haunted me because I don't really know that I could say I have suffered persecution. Is it because I'm not living as faithfully and as dedicated as I ought to? What was it about these first century disciples that made them so strong and kept growing and loving one another and being faithful to God, even though the persecution was so strong and it even got worse and worse? I want to recommend a movie if you'd like to watch something. It's called, maybe some of you have seen it, Paul the Apostle of Christ. Who all seen that movie? Came out a few months ago. What'd you think? Thumbs up from Cheryl. And yeah, actually I want to show a clip from it. But it's set in the year 64 AD. And that is the year that the city of Rome almost burned to the ground. And the Roman emperor blamed it on the Christians, Nero. And so he began to persecute the Christians. And the things he did were so horrible. He would gather them up and on certain days bring them into the Colosseum to be devoured by the lions. That really happened. They called it the Games, and you're going to hear a reference to that in this quote. They would actually take the Christians and cover their bodies with some kind of flammable material at sundown and light them on fire while they were tied up to posts on the sidewalks in the city and burn them to death, using their bodies to light the streets of the city at night, the bodies of the Christians. And I was thinking about what Jesus said about how you are the light of the world. And really, in a way, that's kind of a fulfillment because of their faithfulness to God. They became physical lights. But we know that that refers in a much more mild sense to the example we have. But because of their faithfulness, you know, they were willing to die for their belief in Jesus Christ. And about the same time, he arrested the Apostle Paul. And that's really what this movie's about. It's about Paul in prison awaiting his death. And it's about Paul and Luke the historian, the physician, who risks his own life to come to Paul to hear the stories so he can write them down so that these letters can be taken to the Christians so they can know more fully about who Jesus was and about all the things that happened. And so if someone will get the lights there in the back of the auditorium, this may be a little tough to see, but what it is Luke, and a lot of it's, you know, embellished a little bit. It refers to some people who are in the Bible story, but not exactly the way it happened in the New Testament. But really not in competition with what the Scripture does present about the gospel. But in this story, Luke has been arrested. And they tell Luke that the next day, he and all in the prison are to be taken to the games. They're going to be taken to the Colosseum and devoured by the lions. And so Luke knows what's going to happen when he gets there. But everyone else, they're unaware. They don't know. And so they ask him, do you know what's going to happen? And he's going to tell them what's going to happen. And I want you to listen to their reaction and to the way Luke tries to calm them when they realize what's about to happen to them. It's men, it's women, it's children. And that is really what happened to these Christians in the first century.
I know you. You're the one traveled with Paul. Luke, the physician.
I am.
Do you know what will happen to us? They tell us nothing in here.
There will be games tomorrow. Everyone, gather around. Gather around. It will be a moment of pain, but only a moment. Only a moment. And then we shall be home in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ forever. You see, in my heart, I felt that there should be some kind of retribution against the Romans for the crimes that they have committed. But there can be only one way. Remember as our Lord spoke from the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He has also asked us to pray in the same way. So let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors.
And lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us from evil.
Amen.
Two things I wanted to
just kind of see there that really touched me when I was watching it. One is when he told them what was going to happen, and you heard all the screams. And you can understand, you know, how people would feel that way. But then the way he calmed them down, and he told them about the afterlife, and he told them about, you know, how brief this physical life really is. We all know that's true. And we're all going to face death someday. But there's something so much more wonderful waiting for us. And that's the kind of faith the Christians in the book of Acts had. And that's what I want to think about as we study. You know, what Peter said there, or excuse me, what Luke said, is really the same thing you read in the book of Revelation. There was a church at Smyrna, and he said, don't fear what you're about to suffer. The devil's about to throw some of you into prison. You'll be tested. You'll have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I'll give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes will not be hurt by the second death. You know, the same message. Don't be afraid of what you're about to suffer. We don't suffer like that today. But what can we learn about their faith and how intense they were and how much they were willing to sacrifice? And maybe we should be more zealous with what we are called to do. It's like what Paul said himself in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We don't lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing. Our inward man is being renewed day by day. Our light afflictions that are just for a moment, he says, are working for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. And so we don't look at the things that are seen, but we look at the things that are not seen. The things that are seen are temporary. The things that are not seen are eternal. And I know that I just have a problem focusing on things that are seen. The here and now, and the physical needs. And I need to learn, and I think we all do, to focus more on the things that are spiritual. And so we're going to be studying in the book of Acts, and that's the big question we're going to ask. You know, what is it that motivated these people? What is it that inspired them to make such sacrifices and to be so, you know, serious about their relationship with God and to spread the gospel throughout the whole world in just such a short period of time? There's a lot of great stories there. We learn a lot. And we'll start by looking at chapter 1 this coming Wednesday morning. The last song we're going to sing today is an old song, Almost Persuaded. And you notice the scripture there. That's the book of Acts, chapter 26, where King Agrippa said, almost you persuade me to become a Christian. And you might ask, well, why did the people believe it? Why were they so strong in their conviction? I think the number one reason is because they saw that Jesus had been raised from the dead. Because that's really where the book starts. You know, Christ has been raised from the dead, and they saw him. And so they began to preach it, and people began to believe it. They believed that Jesus had been raised from the dead.
in this particular story, Paul was preaching to King Agrippa and basically telling him that Jesus had been raised from the dead, and they said he was crazy. You know, much learning has made you mad, is what they said to Paul. And that's what people think of us if we believe in the resurrection or we believe in the story of the Bible. I had someone this past week ask me, what do you think about all those stories in the Bible? Do you really believe those stories? And what they meant was like Jonah being swallowed by a great fish and the parting of the Red Sea. Do you really believe? How can you really believe stories like that? And I think all of us kind of, you know, we struggle with that a little bit. But my answer was, you know, if you believe in God, if you believe in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, then all those stories are simple. You know, if he can speak this world into existence, then anything the Bible says is possible. But the second thought is, you know, I'm talking to someone who's a believer, but just questioning stories, do you believe in the resurrection? And if you believe in the resurrection, you know, that's something none of us have ever seen. It's something we just have to take by faith that someone was dead and they came back to life. And that's really what the Christian faith is all about. If we believe in the resurrection, then why should we doubt anything that the Bible says? But if we don't believe the stories, how can we believe in the resurrection? Or how can we believe anything that the Bible says is true? What Paul said to these men was, you know, I'm not crazy, but I'm speaking words of truth and reason. And he went on to say, this was not done in a corner. This is something you can check. And so that's really what the book of Acts is. It's a historical book written by an eyewitness who traveled with the Apostle Paul. He was a physician, so he's very, you know, careful in his details and the way he presents the story, giving names and places and dates. And hopefully, you know, that record can inspire us also to believe that Jesus was raised from the dead and then want to live our lives for him. The king said, you know, you almost persuade me. This was a member of the Herodian family, King Agrippa. And he knew it was true because he knew the scriptures also. He said, you almost persuade me to become a Christian. And that is such a big step to take. And it's such a serious step to take. And I hope we know that as we look at the book of Acts and we see really what those people were willing to sacrifice for their faith. We're going to sing this song in just a moment. This is an invitation. Words are designed to encourage anybody here today who's not really thinking as seriously about your relationship with God as you should. If you've never become a Christian, you know, don't be like him and say, almost. Decide you're going to do it. Give your life to God, and you can obey him as he commanded by being baptized today. Or think about it. Study it. Let us help you, any question you might have. If we can help you in that regard, we're certainly here to do anything that we can. And I hope everybody will, you know, give the Acts study a chance. Come Wednesday morning at 11, come at 7 o'clock, whatever works for you. But let's go over again this great history that Luke recorded for us of the early church, see what we can learn.